Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jeff Chandler, contributing writer for WordPressTavern.com, and we're doing a special little interview today with a member of the WordPress community who's been around the block a few times, I'd say. He's been around at least since 2008, if not a few years before, and his name is Jason Schuler. And Jason, thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for inviting me.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time now because based on the things I've read on your blog and your tweets, it just sort of seems like you're drifting away from the WordPress ecosystem, and we're going to get more into that later on during this special show. But before we do that, kind of give us an insight as to who you are, give us a little background, and where you live.
Yeah, obviously, name is Jason, and I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington, so I've been here all my life. I still live here. And
So you've got to be a Seahawks fan.
You know, I'm probably the only guy in...
Oh, no. Are you sure you want to say this?
You know, I never... It's weird because my brothers watch sports on television, and all my friends watch sports on television. They're all football fans, and I very much prefer to be there live or actually be playing the sports rather than waste the time watching it on television. So I've never really gotten into like watching football on TV or following it. So I can't say that I'm not a fan. I mean, it's hard to escape, you know, what's going on in Seattle right now.
I mean, right. It's huge. Yeah. I mean, you can't drive around downtown without seeing the 12th man.
Oh yeah. Everywhere. No way. I can't drive around my neighborhood without escaping. I mean, it's insane. I mean, there's flags out everywhere and it's craziness, and it's cool. I mean, it's a cool kind of feeling that we don't see often here in Seattle for our professional sports, you know? I mean, it's a cool vibe for sure, but I've just never been into it.
Well, what about, is that sports in general? I mean, what about baseball?
No, I mean, I love playing sports. I'm very much a sports guy. I'm very much an athletic guy. I like to get out and play sports. I like to, you know, go skiing and mountain biking. I like to play football. I like to play soccer, volleyball, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I've never, for whatever reason, I just never have been able to sit down and enjoy a football game on TV and follow it. I don't know what it is. Something wrong with me, I guess.
Well, congratulations anyways on the Seahawks going to the Super Bowl, but yeah. I have the Broncos winning and then Peyton Manning retiring on top. That's the way I see it. But we'll have to see what happens. So, as I said in the intro in the show, you've been a longtime member of the WordPress community. And you know, how did you end up getting involved with WordPress theme development? Because if I remember correctly, before you launched your own endeavor, I think you were an employee of Brian Gardner at one point.
No, you know, I was never an employee of Brian Gardner. The way I got started in theme development was I worked for the Boeing company here for 10 years before I even started looking at like WordPress. Essentially, Boeing, and I still think they do it this way, they manage all their internal websites just using static HTML.
Boy, that sounds fun.
Yeah, no, it's not fun at all, and that's why I started looking at like Joomla back in the day. I mean, this was like 2006, 2007. And started looking at Joomla and WordPress and a few of the other kind of rinky-dink CMSs that were out there. And for whatever reason, WordPress just kind of made sense to me back then. And I saw it as a way to easily kind of come up with a solution for managing all of Boeing's internal websites, you know, using WordPress. And so that's kind of how I taught myself to build a WordPress theme and familiarize myself with WordPress development.
So just like many other people in the community, self-taught.
Yeah, definitely self-taught for sure. And again, I was just trying to use it to solve a problem. I mean, I saw that as a big problem. You know, static HTML for thousands of websites internally to the Boeing company. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I saw it as a big way to save some time and money, you know, for that company, and I put together like a demo, and it didn't fly too well for upper level management. They didn't care for it too much because I think primarily because it was an open source platform.
Wow.
And companies like that, they like to be able to...
Yeah, they're used to spending money on proprietary software solutions.
Exactly. They want to know that what they're getting is supported. And I think that's really what it came down to. And so that was kind of like the kicker for me to want to do something else, because I think if I hadn't left, I'd probably still be sitting in that chair managing static HTML websites for the Boeing company. And so I'm definitely glad that was like an experience for me, something that kind of spurred me to want to do something more with my career.
Interesting. So that becomes one of your life, sort of life-changing moments, like a pivot.
Absolutely. I mean, I hold WordPress in high regard for that, because I think without it, it wouldn't have maybe given me that motivation to do something different.
Now, you started Press 75 in 2008, which ironically is the last time you and I have seen each other face-to-face. I believe it was WordCamp Chicago where we met. which, by the way, was also the same WordCamp event that Gravity Forms was being previewed. That's where Carl Hancock was showing everybody previews of Gravity Forms, and hey, look what happened to them, man. We all predicted what was going to happen to them.
Yeah.
And Press 75 was started not too long after some of the other established theme companies, such as iThemes and Studio Press.
Right. Yeah, but back in the day, it was you know, Brian Gardner had Revolution Theme, and then AD had just had his, you know, premiumnewstheme.com, and there was Corey was doing iThemes, and those were really kind of the guys to look up to as far as getting started in the WordPress theme business, you know. And so I remember having that conversation with Brian before I launched Press 75, and you know, he kind of gave me the in on making a living selling WordPress themes. It just kind of gave me the motivation to try it out myself.
So where did my confusion come in on you being an employee of Brian Gardner? Was it the fact that you could have been a partner with him and worked on Studio Press, and you decided to go on it alone?
We actually did partner at one time. So he had revolutiontheme.com, I think it was back then, and I had just launched Press 75, and I had my four video themes that I had put together, and that was like my entire library at that time of WordPress themes. And he saw the good in what I was doing, because there weren't too many video-centric WordPress themes back then. I mean, this was 2008. There weren't a lot of them out there. And
was YouTube around in 2008?
Yeah, it was around. I mean, definitely. And then Hulu had just come out, and you know, so it was definitely, video was definitely on the rise, I think, at the time on the internet. And so I wanted to do something different and, you know, take a stab at making video WordPress themes.
Just out of curiosity, looking back on it now, do you think you made the right choice?
Absolutely. I mean, I carved a niche out for myself, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure I could have grown and sustain my business without it, but I definitely carved a niche out for myself and built a name on video WordPress themes. I mean, and that started me off. So it was definitely a good decision to go that route. You know, that's how I met Brian Gardner, and again, he saw the value in what I was doing, and we decided to try and partner. And that's where Revolution 2 I think it was around for maybe 4 months.
Yeah.
We did Revolution 2 together. And, you know, he had his themes and I had mine, and we just decided that it wasn't, that's also when the GPL came into play, because we were the first company, Revolution 2, to go fully GPL with our themes. We gave the themes away for free, basically, and charged for support. Mm-hmm. And that was an experiment after talking. I mean, Brian and I flew down to San Francisco and talked to Matt.
I remember that. Yeah.
And, you know, he really did convince us that, you know, GPL was the right way to go for a WordPress theme business and for WordPress in general. And that's how we launched Revolution 2. And I think the model we came up with, it wasn't the greatest model, because essentially we had a download link on all of our themes. And so there was no reason to purchase, really, other than getting support. You know, I think that was the biggest mistake we made, was just providing them free to download.
Right.
And so that led to us kind of rethinking our partnership, and he wanted to do something different. You know, he already had Studio Press in mind and wanting to go that route, and we decided to part ways. He relaunched as Studio Press, and I relaunched Press 75, and had just been doing it ever since.
And it was launched around the time where some of those other companies were launched. But looking at things now, it doesn't seem, at least from someone who writes WordPress news all the time and keeps my ear to the ground, so to speak, trying to keep the pulse of what's going on in the WordPress community. It seems like Press 75 hasn't grown to be one of those dominant players in the space. And I was just wondering, is this intentional? And when I say intentional, I mean, are you content with just being able to pay your bills and live a comfortable life? And also, when I say dominant players, I'm thinking of hiring multiple employees, branching out to do plugins and do this and do that, and just being a conglomerate of a company. But as I understand it, I also think since day one, it's just been a two-person operation. I think you and your wife are both working on Press 75.
I mean, there was a time where I had, you know, one or two support reps that I paid. There was one guy that I employed for quite a long time, Alex Mansfield, and he's doing his own stuff in WordPress right now. And, you know, helped him pay his way through college. And so it was nice to be able to do that. But, no, I always have kind of had this ideal in mind that as long as I'm comfortable, you know, with being able to pay the bills and being able to do, you know, certain things that my wife and I want to do and also enjoying what I do for a living, then that makes me happy. I don't really have any desire to be huge in the space. You know, I've always wanted to kind of keep it small and not grow past my ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what are some of the important lessons you've learned while managing Press 75 for the past 5 years?
Well, you know, there is a fine balance because, you know, Press 75 did grow to a point where I couldn't manage it alone anymore. And so that was like the biggest lesson learned for me.
And for many people out there, that's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have, but I didn't recognize it.
Oh, okay.
It gets to a point, you know, I think it got to a point with me where I maybe got a little bit too comfortable with where my theme business was. It grew to a point where I couldn't manage it by myself anymore. But the problem was, again, that I got a little bit too comfortable. I thought everything was kind of easy peasy, going good, and things just got a little bit too overwhelming for me. And that was a big kind of turning point for my business, not recognizing that fact and not dealing with it in the appropriate ways. And so I think that's one of the biggest lessons learned, is maybe not to get too comfortable with where you're at. You always got to work.
In 2010, moving on from Press 75, you launched a theme marketplace called Theme Garden, and the marketplace was a big deal at the time because I believe 100% of the sale went towards the theme author. And I was doing some research before the show, and it looks like Theme Garden is not around anymore. So what happened?
You know, Theme Garden I consider it a success on many levels because, number one, it was the first 100% of all profits went to the theme authors, and number two, it was the very first 100% GPL marketplace. So any theme on...
You know, I think I wrote about this. You did a interview with Leland of Theme Lab when you were getting ready to launch Theme Garden. Mm-hmm. This was in late 2009. You were working on it in early 2010, and everybody was scratching their head thinking, what is Jason thinking? He's launching a theme marketplace where the person managing it or operating the theme marketplace is supposed to receive a cut of all the theme sales, yet theme authors are getting 100% of the theme sale. Where is the logic in that?
There was none, really. I mean, that's what it – yeah, exactly. I really wanted to give back to the community just based on what I had learned running my own theme business. There's a lot of really talented people out there creating WordPress themes, and maybe they hadn't really thought of how to get it out there and sell it other than on ThemeForest or whatever else was available at the time. And I just really wanted to create a really simplistic way for people to sell their themes, and also, number two, be aligned with the values of WordPress. And, you know, that includes the GPL, and I wanted to give back. I mean, ThemeForest at the time, I think, you were lucky to get like 35% of your sales or something like that. Mm-hmm. I just kind of thought that was ridiculous. I wanted to be able to give back to these people that were making good stuff. And it was a good platform. It was a good learning experience for me because I had quite a few people selling some really good stuff on there. And again, it was something that kind of grew out of my hands. And I've never been very good. I mean, one of my biggest downfalls, I've never been very good about reaching out to people and asking for help. And I think that's what happened with Theme Garden is I didn't ask for help. I needed help because it was just too much for me to handle on my own at a certain point. And that's where it just kind of lost momentum for me.
Well, when you say help with Theme Garden, do you mean with technology or with people, with business advice, or
yeah, I mean all of the above. I'd say, I mean, I needed hands on with the platform. I needed people to help me run it. I needed, you know, some business advice as to how to monetize it, because there was no monetization strategy, you know, at all.
At least not for you.
Yeah, not for me. And it was although
did you end up putting your Press 75 themes on the Theme Garden?
I did.
Marketplace?
Yeah.
So that was a way for you to earn income.
Sure. It was another way for me to earn income, and it worked. I mean, it was a good platform for selling themes, and there's actually a couple of, you know, theme authors out there still now that are selling themes, and they got their start on Theme Garden. So if that's all I contributed to the community, then I think that's good.
Yeah, I wonder, looking at the landscape today, if you were to launch something like Theme Garden, a marketplace today where theme authors ended up with 100% of the sale, I think it would go gangbusters. Although I'm not necessarily sure on that. Well, I don't know if I want to talk about this now, but I mean, the whole theme marketplace idea is pretty fascinating to me. And the theme forest on Envato has just gone gangbusters it's just incredible.
Well, and you can't ignore like Mojo. I mean, Mojo just got bought out, and they're huge. Mojo Themes, it's another marketplace, and then also Creative Market.
Yeah, Creative Market.
And Creative Market, really, I've used them just to kind of get an idea of how they work everything on the back end for the sellers, and they've created a really, really beautiful experience for actually getting your themes up and sold, or anything really up and sold. Much nicer than ThemeForest, in my opinion. But, I mean, you can't ignore the presence that is ThemeForest. I mean, it's huge. It's a massive, massive community for selling WordPress themes. And if you're looking to get started, that's probably your number one go-to, I think, for getting started.
So going back to ThemeGarden was never meant to replace your existing theme business, Press 75. It was just an experiment or a project you were working on to give back to the community, correct?
Yeah, I think I had it in the back of my head that if my themes did well on Theme Garden and Theme Garden was picking up enough speed, that I would just eventually shut down Press 75 and just keep selling my stuff on Theme Garden. Mm-hmm. And then eventually maybe make a way where I could actually make a little money off Theme Garden too, you know, from the people, whether it be like a subscription service where you pay, you know, $20 a month or something to sell your themes or something along those lines. But it never, you know, progressed.
You know, just going back in history, the first time I heard of it wasn't called a theme marketplace, it was more like a theme club, Small Potato.
He created the
WP Themes Club.
Yeah,
and that
sure
seemed to go well for a little while, and then things happened.
I think
happened.
It was a five, wasn't it a $5 theme club?
Something like $5, and you would get a theme a month. At least that's the way it was supposed to work, but
right,
it didn't end up.
He sold that for like $70,000 or something like that.
Yeah, that theme club, along with the website WP Theme Designer,
yeah,
I want to say, was sold to a guy for $65,000 who just turned the whole entire website into the front page into a list of affiliate links for companies.
Yep. And he probably made $70,000 back, I'm sure.
So that's how that went.
Yeah.
But that was pretty neat at the time. It was the first time I was exposed to the idea of a theme club. And looking back at that and the theme marketplaces of today, do you think a theme club with a one-time fee, whether it's $5 or $10, do you think a theme club could exist nowadays under the right model?
Under the right model, sure. I mean, anything can exist, but it's a hard question to answer. I don't know. I think most people making WordPress themes they're making them to make money, and I'm not sure that something like that would be able to, you know, bring the people.
Yeah, speaking of that, in a recent interview on TorqueMag.io, shout out to them, you said, and I quote, "The WordPress theme marketplace is a sad state of affairs right now, and I think it has something to do with people trying to do it for the wrong reasons," end quote. And I just, can you expand on that statement?
Yeah, I mean, that was a little while ago, and I still I still feel that way to a certain extent. I shouldn't generalize, you know, the entire WordPress theme marketplace, but there's a lot of people that are doing some really, really amazing things with WordPress themes. Really talented people that just love what they do. I see Mike McAllister in the forums there, and he's one of them. His team business OK themes. I think he's one of the best WordPress theme guys out there right now, and he's just passionate about creating good stuff. And I think that's what matters to me, is that you're creating WordPress themes because it's something you're passionate about. And yeah, of course you want to make a living. I mean, that's definitely got to be on your mind, but these people that are out there throwing themes up on ThemeForest, just basically carbon copying what's popular right now, you know, and getting it out there to sell, I think that's what I meant by that statement. I don't like the idea of people just throwing things out there because they think they're going to sell, you know. There's no soul in that. I like the guys like Mike that are just, they're out there, they're pounding the pavement, and they're doing what they love because it's something they enjoy doing, not because they're going to make, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a month doing it.
And Mike McAllister is pretty happy. He says he's finally been validated. So congratulations, Mike. You know, and speaking of ThemeForest, in their recent community overview, there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars going through the hands of the Envato marketplace to WordPress theme authors and developers, and just kind of throughout their whole Envato network. There's tons of money going through there. Sure. Look at ThemeForest, and there are people there, sometimes individuals, sometimes actual companies made up of, you know, between 5 to 10 people, development shops, just using ThemeForest as a means of getting their themes and products out there. But some of them are making $1 million. And I think a lot of that, you know, when they see a theme author, especially if it's an individual making that kind of bread on ThemeForest, I mean, who wouldn't want to try and tap into that with themes that have zillions of options?
It's enticing, right? I mean, it's hard to ignore, for sure. I mean, but again, I just don't think good work comes out of doing something for money, specifically. I think good work comes out of just the love of doing something. When you're not doing something for love, it feels like, I said again, I mean, it just feels soulless to me. There's just nothing there that interests me.
And I don't know how much you can comment on this, but we've, in the big picture of things, when it comes to WordPress themes, I like to look at it as sort of a cycle, where back in 2008, when Press 75 first launched, and through 2009, maybe you can even include 2010, but mostly 2008, 2009, it was more about adding more widget spots in a WordPress theme, and absolutely, adding options to not have people have to edit the design of their site using code. Let's optionize everything. And we go the next couple years after that, 2010, 11, 12, we are seeing themes that just have a bazillion options where even things that really don't make sense are putting the option panels. And now, recently, what I'm seeing, especially attitude throughout most of the WordPress community and more of the established developers, we're starting to come back around on the other side of the cycle of just ripping all the settings out and let's start over from scratch.
Yeah, and I love that.
Do you see that? Do you feel the same way?
You know, that's where I started losing big interest in WordPress and what I did for a living, because it was expected, you know, at a certain point that, you know, when you release a theme, especially one that costs money, that it has to be able to be customized to an infinite degree, whether it be with widgets or colors or layouts or anything like that. And that's where I really started to lose interest, because it took the fun out of creating WordPress themes for me.
Yeah, if you didn't have a million options in your theme, you were apparently doing it wrong.
Yep. Yeah, and that was that really was a turnoff for me, because I just wanted to basically create something that I thought was, you know, interested me, that I thought was good, and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't, you know. I mean, and that's where I really have a problem with some of the WordPress themes these days is, you know, and the people that use them, even. I mean, you search the web for the perfect WordPress theme, right, and you finally find it. And this person that created this, maybe, you know, like Mike McAllister, a good example, he's put a lot of time into and thought into designing and developing this perfect theme. And then you take it and you you basically customize it to a point where it's unrecognizable. Throwing widgets and changing things around and colors and this and that. And it's just, in my opinion, it's almost like an injustice to what that theme author did, the intention of what he put out there.
Yeah, there's even this notion now, this movement of sort of relates back to settings where adding all these different types of functionality to a theme and having them be accessed via settings, when in reality the theme would be much better off if all those things were relegated to plugins, leaving certain specific functionality in a theme into a plugin. Or themes these days, like we've been talking about, have custom post types, short codes, and all these other things that don't make them portable. I mean, there are so many situations out there now. I think probably a lot of themes from ThemeForest are responsible for this. A user could download the perfect theme, switch the theme, and next thing you know, they're missing all kinds of content, and their site's all screwed up because custom post types disappeared, the content disappeared, short codes don't work because all that stuff was actually theme-dependent. Instead of being relegated to plugins. Now we're starting to see a movement where we're trying to educate everyone to rip all that stuff out, bundle it as a plugin if you need to, or point people to a plugin that already exists that does that type of functionality, like a custom post types plugin. And let's get back to theme designers worrying about the design and the presentation of the site itself and leave the functionality to plugins.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I mean, but you're still limited, I mean, with WordPress, because, I mean, WordPress, and, you know, this is one of the things that has kind of turned me off to WordPress lately, or it's not suitable for what I want to do anymore, because it's become so much more than what it was when I started, you know, creating themes for WordPress. I mean, WordPress can be used for anything. That's the power of WordPress. There's something to be said about having a solution that's created for a specific purpose. WordPress is not that solution anymore.
Yeah, you know, during the past 2 years, you've made statements on Twitter talking about how WordPress is just too much for what it is you're trying to accomplish these days for publishing content or doing other things on the web. And that's when we started to see word that you were developing a new system called Droplets. And I'm just wondering, is Droplets different from Leaflets? And can you tell us about it?
Yeah, you know, I've just been tinkering around with creating all sorts of different kinds of solutions. I've probably created, you know, 4 or 5 different website solutions in the last year or two, you know, just kind of playing with the idea of maybe solutions should be created for specific niches. You know, like the latest one I'm working on now, it's called Cinematico, and it's created specifically for video-centric websites, kind of going back to my roots how I started Press 75. Maybe, you know, in developing this, all you need are this, and this feature, and nothing else. And that's what you don't get with WordPress. With WordPress, it's all or nothing. You can develop a really minimalist-looking theme, right? But you still have WordPress powering it, which is this massive, massive entity at this point, and you can't get away from that. And that's why I kind of started going down the road of creating my own like niche solutions, just to kind of familiarize myself with maybe how I would go about creating something for myself.
And it sort of reminds me of, have you been keeping tabs on a project called Ghost? Have you been able to try that out? And if so, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like Ghost. I mean, Ghost is cool, and I like it because, you know, right on the website, they say a blogging platform. This is a blogging platform only, and that's all it will ever be. I hope they stick to their guns on that because, you know, one of the recent new features in Ghost is static pages, and to me, that's a slippery slope. As cool as it is, it's not just a blogging platform anymore, right? You know, as soon as you integrate the functionality to create static pages, it's a website platform.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like, let's make it like WordPress. Let's add pages. You know, it's like that's the first start.
Yeah, it's kind of, like I said, it's a slippery slope, and I hope they kind of keep it at that because it kind of takes away from what that project was, in my opinion. Like, just maintain it as a blogging platform. That's all it has to be. It doesn't have to be any more than that. And that's why I created, like, Droplets was just my very first experiment in an attempt of creating my own blogging platform. It's as minimalist as you can get, you know. Essentially, I was writing posts in Markdown format on my Mac, you know, in ByWord. And I wanted to be able to just upload a post file, like a text file, that was my post and had that show up on my website. And so that's what Droplets is. And that's why I created that. And it was just, again, it was one of those things I wanted to see if I could do it.
I looked up the definition of minimalism before this show, and it's, quote, a style or technique as in music, literature, or design that is characterized by extreme spareness and simplicity, end quote. And this area seems to be your new focus based on all the feelers you put out there. I guess I read your Twitter stream in case you didn't notice. What is your personal definition of minimalism? Do you have something that's different than that, or...?
I think everybody probably has a different definition. For me, it's just getting, accomplishing a task with the minimal tools that you need. And you know, that's why WordPress doesn't suit what I'm looking to do these days. Because in order to, say, accomplish, in order to do like a single, say I wanted to do a single page website, you know, single page websites, they're all over the place. People use them quite a bit. WordPress is just, you know, way, way, way overkill for something like that. So how do I create a single-page website and still make it editable for the end user, you know, without using WordPress? And that, to me, is a minimalist approach, you know, just getting, accomplishing a task with everything you need and nothing you don't, basically.
Yeah, it's an art form, really, and it's being able to strike that balance. I joke about the fact that if you want to have a minimalistic website, just have a white page and black text. I mean, it's there's joke websites out there to say this is as minimal as it gets, but really
much more than that.
but yeah, I was just gonna say, I mean, minimal techniques and minimalism is much more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is really an art form, and anybody that disagrees is you just kind of have to look at it differently. There's a lot of people that consider minimalism, it's just, they're saying that it's not design, you know, this, we're going back to basic HTML website where it's just text on a white page, and minimalist design is so much more than that. It really is an art form, and whether you appreciate it or not, I mean, I guess that's your opinion.
And well, you're not going to make very many friends with people that love options.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not into options anymore. Like, my goal is to create things that have specific purpose. That's really what I want to do, and
But you see, it's interesting because one of the mantras of WordPress are decisions, not options. And if you design things in the right way, where the decision is made for you, you don't need any options. It kind of sounds like, is it kind of similar to minimalist design or the minimalist approach to accomplishing a task?
Sure. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't use WordPress to create a minimalist website. You can, absolutely. I'm just saying, in my opinion, it's not the right tool for the job. And that's, again, it's just my opinion. There's no right or wrong answer to the medium you use to accomplish a specific task. But for me, if I want to create a single-page website, I just can't see any reason to use WordPress. It's just not, it's not suitable for that task, in my opinion. It's just way too much. There's way too much there in the background.
It's sort of sad to be having this conversation and for you to say that, because this is what WordPress has been known to be used for since its existence, to be a, not so much blogging, even though we kept using that word as primarily what it was used for in its heyday, but as a publishing platform. I don't know, it sounds like it's sort of losing, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and Matt Mulloway mentioned this in his State of the Word address at WordCamp San Francisco last year, where WordPress is at this point where, sort of like a triangle, where you ask people what are they using it for, and it's either as a CMS, as a blogging or a publishing platform, or as a platform itself.
Yeah, an application platform, sure.
And it seems, it used to be, we'd say blogging, or it used to be, hey, look, everyone's starting to use it as a CMS. Now everybody's starting to use it as a platform. But he seems to think that instead of WordPress being used for a specific task, that it's actually all three. They're starting to build things and manipulate WordPress in a way that can accomplish all three of those tasks while still maintaining the ease of use and being a great publishing platform.
I saw that presentation, and I really hope that they follow through. And I think you're seeing kind of the beginnings of that in WordPress 3.8. You know, I definitely still keep tabs on WordPress for sure. But I think there's a long way to go.
Oh, yeah, there's a long way to go, especially, you know, like just looking at the settings pages. Those have to be revamped. And we talked about this with Matt Mulloway. on a recent interview when he was on WordPress Weekly about sort of thinking about the future of WordPress, and he's brought up the idea, there's a theory of changing, like if you have a piece of wood from a boat, I'm probably going to rip this all apart, but if you have like a board from a boat, you use that board and build a new boat, is it still part of the, I'm ripping apart the theory, I shouldn't even try it, but at what point do you start making all these changes to WordPress where WordPress is not recognizable as WordPress right. anymore? I mean, does it become something else?
Right.
And going in the future of WordPress, do we get to a point where everything is API based? There are no physical actual things bundled with WordPress, and it's all just API, and whatever you want to make, you just put API calls in here, and this is the way WordPress looks and feels. It's not just all bundled together.
I wish it was that way. If it was that way, I'd still be using it, you know.
Well, it seems to be with this thing called the REST API and JSON and different things that are going to be happening in the future. It certainly seems like that is the long-term vision or goal of where WordPress is heading.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. I think that's it's a turn for the better, in my opinion, because up to this point, WordPress was just getting more and more bloated with options and core integrations and all this stuff, and you can't make those things go away, you know, for depending on the project that you're doing. So again, I go back to like a single page website. I want to make a single page website with WordPress. I still have all that stuff in the admin that I don't need. I don't need comments. I don't need blog posts. I don't need pages, really. You know, I almost just need an options page for managing that single page, and that's it. If I had a platform that did that, like that I can say, hey, you know, this is exactly what I need, and this is all I want to see in my admin, and I don't want any of the other stuff. Have it be elastic. You know, that would be perfect, and I would probably be using WordPress again if that's the case.
So stepping outside of the WordPress world and sort of working on custom solutions and doing things from scratch to accomplish specific tasks, that's all kind of giving you a new insight or a new look on how WordPress is these days?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is just me. I'm kind of soul searching, I guess, trying to figure out what my next step is as an entrepreneur. And I've just kind of come to the opinion that in order for me to grow as an entrepreneur, I kind of need to find my own path, and WordPress was a great stepping stone, you know, for getting me started as an entrepreneur, but it's in my gut. I just kind of know in my gut that in order to move forward, I kind of need to go and experiment, you know, on my own.
I don't know which recent WordPress theme you created, but I know that you've put out there that it's just not fun anymore for you. It seems like you're going through so much more hassle to just create a solution now in WordPress, and it's not fun. There's no passion. It's like work. You're trudging through it, and that's why you said, okay, I got to do something that, A, I don't really know much about so I can expand, you know, what I know, and B, seeing if something could be done better that you feel WordPress doesn't do very well today. And I think that's primarily one of the reasons why you've gone off and are creating droplets and leaflets and creating all these different things. And it's probably a lot more fun for you because you found that spark that, hey, cool, you know, I'm doing new stuff again. I'm solving problems instead of work
that's
giving
exactly
me problems.
At the moment where work feels like work, that's, I think, where you're doing something wrong. I mean, when the passion's gone, I mean, you're definitely, in my opinion, doing something wrong. Work shouldn't feel like work. I mean, it should be fun. You should enjoy what you do. You should feel like you're contributing something of value to a community, and you should be able to get something from that. Like I said, it just got to a point with me and WordPress themes where it just felt like work, and it was every day I came up to the office and, you know, I didn't like the idea of, you know, digging into WordPress that day. And that's where I kind of made a decision that, you know, I need to try and do something different.
Despite your office and that awesome view you have, it wasn't enough to get you over the hump of, oh, I got to work in WordPress.
Well, you still maintain what you got, right? I mean, you still have to do work. I'm not saying that you can always just be happy, hunky-dory in your office, you know, having fun all the time for the rest of your life. I mean, when it gets down to it, you have to do work. And what I've created has been unsuccessful. I mean, the only successful thing I've done to this date is Press 75. I mean, Theme Garden was a success for a little bit, but, you know, I shut it down. Leaflets was a single-page website platform I created, and, you know, that got shut down early, too, for lots of different reasons. Droplets, it's out there, but I don't think it'll ever be, like, mainstream, so do I consider that a success? Yeah, I mean, in the fact that I was able to create something on my own, you know, and do what I wanted to do, it's a success. And then, you know, the latest thing I'm working on, Cinematico, will it be a success? I have no idea. I've got to try, you know, the story is just, I just got to get up and keep trying and keep doing something different and trust my gut that I'm doing the right thing.
You've been stating that you're currently working on this, but you're going to be giving away all of your WordPress themes you've ever created away for free. What's that all about?
Well, I mean, rather than, so there's two parts of my WordPress theme business right now, and the biggest part is WordPress.com. So WordPress.com started doing premium WordPress themes, and I have, I think, three themes there right now, and that makes up the majority of my revenue.
Wow. Wow, it's actually done that well for you, then, being at WordPress.com, huh?
And then, you know, Press 75, up until 2 months ago, it was me and Luke McDonald had been a part of Press 75 for a good couple of years. And Luke McDonald wanted to kind of go off and do his own thing, so he's got audio theme going right now. And that's his passion, and I wanted him to be able to do that, you know.
I think I wrote about audio theme. That's the one that has all the custom post types and audio and playlists and all that stuff built in. It's like a framework.
Yeah, it's like an audio framework, basically.
Yeah, that's an awesome theme, awesome idea he's got going on over there.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it's, like, again, it's something he's really passionate about, and I wish him the best. But him leaving Press 75 was a hit for me because he was doing a lot of the development work and maintenance work for the themes. And, you know, he had a couple of themes on there that were selling really good as well. And so it was motivation for me to really kind of listen to my gut a little bit more and kind of move on. And in that, you know, I didn't want to just retire Press 75 because there's so much work there, right? You know, that's been in existence since 2008. So rather than just kill off all the themes and not maintain them anymore, why not throw them up on GitHub? If the community wants to maintain them, great. You know, maybe there's some life in there that can be put back into them by the community, and I think that would be awesome.
So I'm trying to figure out. So you're going to pull all the themes you've created that are available on Press 75 to GitHub?
Sure. Yeah.
Or is it okay? So what does that mean for Press 75? Are you closing it down? Are you closing down the business? I mean, where's your revenue stream going to come from? Do you have something else in the works?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have something else. Again, this project called Cinematico that I'm working is definitely I'm actually working on a monetization strategy for this one. Somewhat different than Theme Garden, right? You know, I want to be able to make a living from this. And
well, if you need any help on that area, just paying Chris Lima, man, he's helped developers in the WordPress community make a boatload more of money just from his advice alone.
Chris is awesome. I've never met him in person, but I've watched his presentations and just kind of reading his blog posts. And man, what an inspiration, right?
Mm-hmm. So Press 75 at one point will be no more, I guess, is what you're saying. I mean, Cinematico is going to be something completely separate that's not going to be through the Press 75 brand. You're saying that Press 75 just won't, it's just going to disappear.
Yeah, I mean, eventually that's the plan. I mean, I've got a couple of themes that are relatively new that I plan on maintaining, and what's going to happen is Press 75 is probably going to go away. The themes that I've created more recently will be maintained on my business website.
Okay.
You know, I created a new website for that that's not been released yet. And those themes will be maintained and sold there. And the rest of the themes will go up on GitHub for free. And, that'll be it. You know, 6 years, I mean, 6+ years, that's a pretty good run for any online business, I think.
kudos to you for taking all of that work and all of those themes and putting up on GitHub so that they don't die. They can take a life of their own if people come across them and choose to maintain them or fork them or use them as a framework to build off of. So kudos to you for doing it. That's an awesome contribution in the legacy of what will be Press 75. But really, kind of looking back at it, I mean, you obviously have to – what do you think about when you reflect on just starting Press 75 and then going on for 6 years, creating themes, interacting with tons of people, going to WordCamps and talking to customers all the time, and then sort of shutting it down? I mean, that has to be – wow, you know, just you kind of have to think about it. What do you think about, you know, when you think about closing it down?
Well, now you're making me second guess, right? No, I mean, it was a huge opportunity.
I don't think it was easy for you to make that decision, was it?
No, not easy at all. I mean, it's a really hard decision to make, but it's a decision I needed. It's kind of like the last step in this journey that I'm taking this year and committing myself to something different, you know, and kind of expanding my reach as an entrepreneur and finding that passion again. Press 75 was that passion for so long, and I don't think you forget the friendships you've made, you know, during that process. It's not like I'm going to be leaving the WordPress community. You know, the friendships I made, more so than the business, is the most important thing to me. And there's a lot of great people in the WordPress community, and they're going to continue to make great stuff, and that's something I'll never forget. I mean, it's like I said, it was a huge part of my life. I hope it was a stepping stone to something just different.
Something better, something better on the horizon. I mean, you know, it's a 6 year learning experience. You know, there's tons of things you've probably learned over those 6 years.
I know a lot more about business. I know a lot more about, you know, design and development, and I think I've grown into something different. And
I'm waiting on that ebook you're gonna sell.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any ebooks coming from me, but maybe a few blog posts. Definitely. I mean, I'll never forget WordPress, and if WordPress turns into something different one day, you know, who knows? Maybe I come back to it. For now, it's not what I want to be working in.
Well, I wish you all the best with your future endeavors. Press 75, what you've done for the WordPress community, and you know, all the different conversations you've been a part of, and the advancement of WordPress and themes and theme options and all that other stuff. I just want to wish you the best. And I've got my eye on you, and I'll be you need to tweet more so I get more scoops. And it's very encouraging to hear that you're going to be sticking around. You got your eye, you got your pulse on the WordPress community, and you're still trying new things with Cinematico. And I hope that this one, maybe you get big. You know, if you do get big, ask for help, okay?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think that's one thing you learned.
That's one thing I learned. I need to ask for help. I've built this network of people, and I like to think that I give when I can. You know, I help people when I can, and help other people get started on their path. And I think I need to start asking for help in return. So
before we close this out, is there any last words or anything that, you know, any last words? It just sounds like you're going somewhere for eternity. But, I mean, is there anything on your mind that you would just love for people to hear, something that you want everybody to know, or whether it be advice or anything else?
Sure. I think I already said it. I think, you know, the biggest thing, I mean, if you're getting started on your own in your own business, it's just do it for the right reasons. Follow your passion. Do something you love. And I think when you do that, and it, you know, it's probably cliche, I think a lot of people say it, but it really does work. You're going to have failures and you're going to have successes, and that's all, you know, kind of part of the road, I think, of being an entrepreneur.
It's all part of the journey.
Yeah, and you gotta learn from those failures and pick up and start again, and that's what I'm doing. So.
Yeah, and I wish you all the best. Where can we keep tabs on you besides Twitter and,
you know, Twitter
maybe,
is probably
on a personal site?
Yeah, Twitter is probably the best place. You know, Jay Schuler on Twitter, and I tweet out everything I'm doing there. You can go to my personal website. There's nothing there, really. It's just a bio of me, jason.sc.
Just in case you want to see what minimalist is, we'll go to your personal website.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. It's just a title and a paragraph, pretty much, with some links. You can see pictures of my kid and all that kind of stuff. But, Twitter is really the best place to keep tabs on what I'm up to.
Awesome. Well, I'll keep tabs on you just like I have been. I'm not going to stalk you or nothing, but I'll keep tabs on you. I'll follow all the information you put out there. And if I ever get a chance to go to WordCamp Seattle, I hope you're there, and maybe we can share a beer or two.
Yeah, for sure.
Catch up in person. That'd be awesome. And
I still plan on going to WordCamps. I love WordCamps. They're great. It's an awesome networking opportunity. And
well, Jason, thank you for spending so much time with me on the show. I loved reminiscing with you for the past 5 or 6 years, and I think that your brightest days are ahead of you.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I need all the encouragement I can get, for sure.
All the best to you, and good luck, Jason.
Thank you so much.